Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bears have drafted another tight end.
I don't like you right now. I don't need that. Nope. Don't need that. This podcast is going to be the quickest one in the history of the Sports Bar After Hours.
There we go.
Right,
how you doing?
You make a crack, and then you automatically get muted at the beginning of the podcast. That's how it works here.
Yeah. You know, over in Spencerport, the Wi-Fi is spotty here. So
are you having problems today, too? Because today, technology has made me its bitch. I cannot get anything going today from a technological standpoint. Everything has been a challenge. It's driving me insane.
Today's one of those days where it's just like, wait a second, it's 5 o'clock here. What's going on? It's flying right by here. But maybe that's because we actually had some sports over the weekend to talk about. But
Gino, how can I have all these issues with tech on a Monday, yet the NFL can go the entire weekend with a flawless NFL draft, free of any real hiccups or concerns? Wow. Kudos to everybody at the National Football League. Once again, the standard that every organization looks up to.
Can I just say this? I thought it was a better product, actually, what we watched. I mean, when you look back at what we watched over the years, do you really need to see men hugging Roger Goodell? Do you really need Susie Colbert sticking a mic in, you know, the prospect's face, you know, and then that draft pick spewing out cliches? No, this was much better. Seeing the draft picks with their families, seeing actually what goes on in their homes, getting a glimpse of these coaches, whether that's Kingsbury or Vrabel going over the top. Actually, I liked it a lot, and I'm wondering if the NFL is actually going to take pieces of this year's draft and then try to incorporate it next year.
You know, as long as they have Belichick's dog making picks for the Patriots, I think I'll be okay with whatever the draft unfolds here, however it unfolds here in the future. Gino, we have a lot to get to here in the Sports Bar After Hours. You mentioned a full weekend of sports action, and yes, the NFL draft concluding, but specifically the Buffalo Bills making their moves over the course of the weekend and setting themselves up for a roster here in 2020. Gino, have you come around on the second round pick, defensive end AJ Epenesa of Iowa? Because when last we spoke, you were a little beside yourself. You weren't excited about this pick.
No, I'm not as excited as many others. And I would ask everybody this, just ask yourself a question. Is the Bills defensive line better right now than it was last year? And I'll say no. You had Shaq Lawson, but you know, the price got too much. And you had Jordan Phillips, a defensive tackle who gets double-digit sacks, but the price got too much. So you're banking on a guy from Carolina. You're banking on Harrison Phillips, who's coming off a major knee injury. And you're also banking on a second-round pick to try to make some sort of impact, the guy who maybe he fits in at tackle, maybe he fits in at end. I'm not as high as others on Epenesa. And I think it was very predictable knowing his, quote, versatility. I'd rather have one guy be great at something rather than the jack of all trades. I mean, so to me, no, the Buffalo Bills defensive line, and I know I'm in the minority on this, I don't think they're as good on paper entering this year as they left off last year.
I think they're about the same as where they were last year. And I think if you're Sean McDermott and you can get a defense that's somewhere in the top 10, you're probably going to take that. I don't see Epenesa as a guy who, through the course of his NFL career, could be a double-digit sack guy. I really don't know if he's that guy. You know, he seems like the kind of guy that McDermott likes, a Starla Tulale type guy, where you don't really see his production on the stat sheet, but he brings it to the field and he creates, you know, mismatches, and he forces other people to make. He has all the markings of what we hear out of a Sean McDermott defensive guy, but I don't see that him as a guy that's going to come in and have more production than what the Bills had last year in Shaq Lawson. I think if they get equal production out of Epineza as they got out of Lawson last year, then that's a win for the Buffalo Bills, getting him in the second round out of Iowa.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be, you'd be ecstatic, but that's a lot to ask of any rookie. If, you know, so to me, you would expect the Bills defense to take, I'm sorry, just a little bit of a step back this year. How could they not? I mean, but on the other hand, I do, and this is why I do give the Bills the favorable grade here overall in the draft. You have to consider that your first round pick went for a wide receiver that's better than any receiver, at least in 2020. Stephon Diggs is a true number one, getting Moss in the third round, getting a couple other flyers on wide receivers later on in the draft. So, you know, to me, the Moss pick makes this very interesting. That's a clear upgrade over Frank Gore. And it's very interesting how they have a kind of a similar style here, too. So when you factor in what the Bills did in rounds one and rounds three and the receivers later on in the draft, too. And yeah, you should be excited on the draft overall.
So a lot of fans excited about the idea of Zach Moss coming in from Utah, the running back picked in the third round, a good compliment to Devin Singletary. He'll be the hard nose between the tackles guy, the guy that'll be needed to move the chains on a third down and short. And you know, a lot of touches, a lot of usage, a lot of experience with his time at Utah, which may or may not hurt him in the NFL. He's a bruiser, and you know, the NFL plays a little bit different than the Pac-12 does. You're going to see some more violent collisions, and hopefully he changes his style enough to be able to avoid some of that contact that he would initiate at the college level, because he won't make it through an entire season if that's the case.
Well, I think he's your 1B, right? This should be Singletary's year to you know, go over 1,000 yards rushing, to become a, you know, they dabble a little bit with him as a receiver. There is certainly room for improvement there. To me, this is certainly Devin Singletary as a clear 1A. TJ Yeldon's still around. I don't know what we should expect out of him, but that's an interesting wild card, too, as far as the Bills running back committee.
Fourth round, Gabriel Davis out of Central Florida. The Bills taking a bigger wide receiver, a guy who was a playmaker at Central Florida, a guy that really all he knows from his collegiate career is how to win. Taller receiver, can go up and get it, my ball mentality. Needs to become a better route runner at the NFL, but this guy behind Diggs, behind Brown, I don't know if Gabriel Davis, day one, might be an upgrade from what the Bills had in Isaiah McKenzie or Robert Foster or even Duke Williams.
Well, I think Duke Williams is the guy, right? This is the player that you would figure would take the roster spot, because McKenzie is still that gadget guy, the guy that can take the end around. He's got that unique skill set. And Robert Foster, I'm sure we'll get to this later on, but to me, Robert Foster, he was lucky to be on the 53 last year, in my opinion. And this year, boy, it's something remarkable would have to happen. So, as a fifth receiver, Davis is that's not bad for the Buffalo Bills here right now. And actually, boy, if we have a training camp at Fisher, and I'm not sure we will, I mean, that's always the one number one, you know, camp battle. Who's going to be the wide? You know, pretty much right now, you can say who the top five are entering this camp.
You see who stands out. And they also take Isaiah Hodgins out of Oregon State in the sixth round. So there'll be more camp battles there behind Cole Beasley and John Brown and, of course, Stephon Diggs, to see who exactly makes this team and who ends up potentially on the practice squad. We're bearing the lead, Gene, because the pick that got everybody buzzing from this weekend is the Bills.
Get the music.
Yeah, the Bills selecting Jake Fromm from Georgia. In the fifth round, the Bills taking a quarterback to come in, and you would expect to compete with Matt Barkley to be the backup for Josh Allen in 2020.
Oh, see, you threw me a curveball there. I thought you were going to go right to hot kicker talk.
No,
so
my
apologies.
Hot kicker
I'm a
talk
rookie
is coming
there.
Up. Listen,
my apologies there. I just couldn't contain myself. I'm getting excited for it. Jake Fromm, And I forget who wrote this, but to me it was accurate. And forgive me, whoever wrote this. He's the opposite, basically, of Josh Allen. Jake Fromm doesn't really have the skill sets, but when it comes to commanding an offense, when it comes to reading defenses, yeah, he will be that quarterback that can serve as a two or three. I look at it this way, and for Bills fans that are upset about spending a fifth round pick on a quarterback, you should pick a quarterback every year. If it is the most important position, not in football, but in sports, then what are you doing not fortifying behind Josh Allen? What happens if Josh Allen busts a knee, knock on wood? Well, then you're done. And I'm not saying Jake Fromm would be the savior here, but I can certainly tell you this, that Matt Barkley, we're just hanging our hat on one game against the Jets, a Jets team that quit and got their coach fired. And that's how Matt Barkley has stayed in this league this long. There needs to be a better plan B. There needs to be a better backup. And maybe Jake Fromm is the answer. Maybe he's not. But I'm willing to spend a fifth-round pick, for crying out loud, to figure that out.
I agree. And, you know, I can't tell you right now that Jake Fromm is a better option than Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley is a better NFL quarterback right now at this very moment than Jake Fromm. That doesn't mean that Jake Fromm doesn't unseat Matt Barkley to be Josh Allen's backup in 2020. And you never know. I agree with you that when you're talking about the most important position on the field, it's why the Bills, you know, put Tyree Jackson on the practice squad. You don't know. You just don't know what you have. So let's take a flyer on him and you know, bring in a guy like a Jackson last year as an undrafted free agent. Let's bring in Jake Fromm and spend a fifth-round pick on a guy who won a lot of games at a very high level at the college game playing for the University of Georgia. I mean, it wasn't – you don't have to look far. You don't look last year. It was Nick Foles getting injured in week one, and all of a sudden Minshew mania takes over. Now, I would have to think – that a guy like Jake Fromm might translate to the NFL a little bit better than a guy like Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville. And if something were to happen, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't, where Jake Fromm could step up and be a competent leader for this Buffalo Bills offense if the worst case scenario were to come true.
Well, to me, I view this pick as Brandon Bean learning from his mistakes. Because remember, Peterman was not Brandon Bean's pick. That was Sean McDermott. But this isn't a Peterman take. It's a take on Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson was the symbol of not being prepared. Derek Anderson was the symbol of Brandon Bean leaving his team without a competent plan should the Josh Allen, Nate Peterman experiment go up in flames or somebody get hurt. You can never have another Derek Anderson type of quarterback on this roster in a meaningful game. And again, I think it was a very wise investment for what you gave up. Fifth round picks, those are the definitions of flyers, okay? If it doesn't work out, and then you move on and you try again next year until you hit.
I agree. And boy, I think it speaks volumes to where this organization is now versus where they were, that the biggest debate over the weekend was over the fifth round quarterback that they selected in Jake Fromm and what his value could be for the team. I mean, you know, you talk about them drafting players that are the best on their board and not necessarily drafting out of need. Well, let's get to some hot kicker talk, Gino, because in the sixth round, you know, I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't just throw away a sixth round draft pick on somebody that they didn't think had a chance to make the final 53. They select Tyler Bass, a kicker out of Georgia Southern.
Yeah, and how do you view Steven Hauschka? And we've talked a lot about Hauschka. 4 years straight, his percentage has declined. And last year, in that Dallas Thanksgiving game, you're thinking, this is it. The Bills had better come up with another option. But credit Hauschka, he pulled up his bootstraps and he got himself together. And actually, he gave the Bills a chance here to perhaps do something in that Houston playoff game, kicking a big field goal late in that game. So maybe Hauschka is the guy that you need to push just a little bit. I'm never for one for spending a draft pick on a kicker. If you do, you better be right. I mean, the Bills years ago spent a seventh rounder. That guy was just terrible. Vedvik is another kicker that the Bills are going to have in camp. Kari Vedvik, who actually was drafted and then was traded for a draft pick and then kicked for the Jets, and he was terrible in that opening game and helped the Bills to an upset win week one last year. So, yeah, it'll be another interesting storyline. is Steven Hauschka's job safe? Well, I'll tell you this. If everything's all even, I'd definitely take the kicker that makes less money, because Steven Hauschka, why they signed him to those dollars for somebody, boy, I want a top five kicker in the league if I'm going to spend that sort of money on a kicker.
You would have a dead cap hit if you were to release Steven Hauschka of $1.25 million. For 2020 and another $625,000 in 2021, not a big deal. But he does come with a cap hit of just over $3 million this season and $3.175 million in 2021. You signed Hauschka to that two-year extension, or he's got 2 years left, rather, at $8 million. Here becomes a unrestricted free agent in 2022. That's the Hauschka deal. So, you know, you could move on from your kicker. They've left themselves a lot of flexibility in terms of how they want to deal with their cap and what they have going on. Moving on from Steven Hauschka wouldn't be the most surprising thing. In fact, last year they put in that waiver claim, we forget, on Chase McLaughlin last November when Hauschka was struggling. McLaughlin ended up with the Colts because they were dealing with some injury issues with Adam Vinatieri as well. And you mentioned Kari Vedvik. He'll probably be in as a punter, but he could also be in the competition during training camp for longer field goals. He's got a big leg as well. But, man, seeing some of the video on kicker Tyler Bass, you know, hitting from 50 with basically no run-up, hitting from 60 with one step. This dude has a long, strong leg, and he's going to make the kicking battle a competition here come late summer.
Yeah, one of the kickers, at least the Bills didn't, you know, draft a kicker with questionable tattoos, right? Good job there, Patriots. So
hot kicker talk in the sports bar after hours. So there you go. You got that all wrapped up with a nice bow. The NFL draft coming to a close. And the Buffalo Bills not making any deals during the draft, kind of staying put and getting seven new names to add to their roster, at least to compete to add to their roster here come training camp. Now, another signing today, along with a handful of undrafted free agents around the league getting signed, the Buffalo Bills adding a name that when you heard it, Gene, I know it triggered a memory in your mind, and it took me a second. I'm like, oh, yeah. The Bills signing free agent linebacker Mike Bell. Why is Mike Bell significant to us here in the sports bar? One of our favorite guests who joined us in the last 12 months or so was the world famous Jay Moore. Jay Moore, comedian, yeah, sports talk host. And we were talking about, you know, at the time, it was about a year ago, actually, we were talking about how Ed Oliver's not really a football name. It's kind of an insurance salesman's name. And that if the Bills were to draft Ed Oliver, that it would be a disappointment because listen, he's Ed Oliver. It's not a football name. And Jay Moore immediately said, he's not like Mike Bell. That's a football name. Mike Bell.
And I have to be honest, at the time, I didn't ever heard of Mike Bell. No, Mike Bell, the linebacker from Fresno State. And the Bills brought him in for a look-see last year. Well, today they signed him. Somebody that can play linebacker, somebody that can play safety. But that's a hat tip to you, Jay Moore, there.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
a sign. That's a sign there.
And the thing that's interesting about Mike Bell, and this you could tell, this is another guy that McDermott will just love. He's a safety in college who put on some weight and now will convert to linebacker. He's got that versatility and he can kind of play anywhere you put him. You know, I view him as like, I don't know, like I remember Brian Urlacher was the same way. I mean, you know, going back to my Chicago Bears roots here, and Urlacher came out of New Mexico as a safety, played linebacker for a very long time at a very high level, a converted safety in college to linebacker in the pros, and Mike Bell putting on a little weight here over the last 12 months will compete for a roster spot as a linebacker, and if anything, could find himself as a special teams ace for the Buffalo Bills.
You know, we would be McDermott's favorite show, right? You know, if we're just going on versatility, you know, we're on the air now. We're podcasting. You're doing some FM. I'm doing some sales. We're just versatile danger. That's all this world is about. Especially in this economy, it's about versatility.
It is. You have to be a jack of all trades and a master of none, which we show every time we hit record here in the sports bar after hours. And by the way, thank you for all of the love over the weekend. I mean, you know, the idea that we could do our emergency pod during the draft, get some initial reaction to the Buffalo Bills selecting at 54. Really can't do this without you guys listening and supporting at ESPNRochester.com. Hopefully a return to normalcy soon, and we can get back into our natural habitat there in the sports bar. As of right now, we're kind of like a speakeasy. you know, like an underground kind of sports bar. You know, we'll let you in by invite only.
Yeah. It's a very apropos. Like, you can't go into a sports bar. Well, you know, our sports bar. Yeah, that's a very good analogy there. Speakeasy. I'll kind of take it. Did you, by any chance, catch last night The Last Dance, Mike Danger?
Oh, yeah.
To me, that what I miss about sports is just how, you know, you don't get this today, how one team can hate another team, how players just going at in competition. There seems to be this business kumbaya, everybody gets along, as long as we all get ours at the end of the day, everything is fine. This day still have this disdain for Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons. Oh, that brought up some good memories.
It was great. You know what? I almost forgot about how punk the Detroit Pistons were. I knew that they were a physical defensive team that beat up on the Bulls for a couple of years on their way to some championships, but I forgot about them walking off the court after they lost that Eastern Conference final to the Bulls on their way to their first title. And to hear Jordan basically say, and Horace Grant of all people calling the Detroit Pistons a bunch of bitches, that's a highlight. I mean, like, what more can you ask for in your TV entertainment? And he's right, by the way. Like, the idea that Lambeer felt slighted that Boston did that to them. Well, Boston were a bunch of bitches back then, too, with the way that they lost to Detroit and leaving the court early and not shaking their hands after a hard-fought series. What is that? That's terrible sportsmanship. And you know, they can defend themselves by saying, well, that's just the way it was done back then. Isaiah Thomas is full of it. Jordan calling him out and basically saying, hey, he's an asshole. The guy, he was an asshole for leaving the court, and there isn't anything that he can say now that's going to make me forget or think differently than from what he did when he did it. Yeah, now he's got the gift of time to look back and reflect and say, well, maybe that was a mistake. But when he did it in the moment, those actions speak louder than any word he's said since then.
Yeah, nobody does that. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Mike Krzyzewski does that every so often after a tough loss. There's an asshole for you. You know what they're setting up, too. Are we going to get the real story why Isaiah Thomas did not get invited to the Dream Team? That was a big deal at the time. You know, one of the top point guards, one of the top stars, and you're not on the Dream Team. Who kept him off that team? Was it Jordan? Was it something else? Was he just such an asshole that, you know, hey, no, we don't want this guy on the team? That's going to be something to watch for this coming Sunday night.
It was enjoyable as always. Man, the Rodman episode, hearing about Rodman needing a vacation. I want 48 hours. Give me 48 hours. Jordan saying, Phil, if you let him go, you're not getting him back in 48 hours. He was right. They had to basically wring out Rodman to get him back on the court, pull him out of bed with Carmen Electra. Jordan physically pulling him out of bed with Carmen Electra. I mean, you hear these stories and you kind of suspected that that's what was going on as it was happening. But now to get confirmation and no, yep, nope, that's what happened. Jordan went to go get him, and Carmen Electra is hiding behind the sofa underneath the covers so she can't be spotted by the goat. So many great stories, and such a great docuseries so far.
Carmen Electra, did time not come and get her? How did I, you know, she? No, not at all.
Yeah, let's put her up there with I think Christy Brinkley and Cindy Crawford, another one. Just they don't age. You see them on TV, like, what? You haven't aged, not even a bit. Carmen Electra in that upper echelon.
AJ McCarron's mom.
Now we're going to a dark place, Gene. I don't know if I want to follow you down this path. Okay. Whoa.
Hey, ho, there's
the football. Start throwing it around the backyard. All right, Gino. Here's what I've got lined up for this week. Hopefully, at some point this week, here in the sports bar after hours, one of our buddies, one of our favorites here in the sports bar, Rich Donnelly from News 10 NBC, is going to join us. I don't know if you saw this or not, but News 10 NBC is going to do something really fun on a Saturday afternoon. They're going to replay the original broadcast from the first ever game, the home opener at Frontier Field back in 1997 with Rich Funky on the call. Can you wait for that?
To me, that's a piece of Rochester sports history. And, you know, things you can look for in that. Remember, when that opened up, no roof. You know, the roof that you see on the first base line, that didn't exist back then. So it was Frontier Field, but, you know, very kind of you know, very crude early version of a frontier field, but a packed house. And I think Scranton Wilkes-Barre, if I remember, was the opponent. So that should be a lot of fun. You know, set my DVR for that. That's one I want to keep, you know, in the file.
Yeah. And News 10 NBC recognizing that many of us sports fans just have an appetite, just feed us something good and we'll be there to check it out. The Last Dance, a great example of that. And of course the NFL draft over the weekend, pulling in record TV ratings. Everybody was tuned in and dialed up and trying to get as much of that as they can. So a good draft for the Bills, Gino. If you give them a grade, what do you say?
I give them a B. I think that, you know, because I'm factoring in, you get Diggs, you get Moss, and, you know, Epinenza maybe is a guy that will end up being a good player on the defensive line for the Buffalo Bills. So to me, it wasn't risky, I'll put it that way. And the Fromm pick, hey, if it doesn't work out, no big deal. But if you do get a good backup in the fifth round, that is certainly a great pick.
All right, Gino, we'll talk later on this week. What do you say?
Sounds good, Danger.
All right, the Sports Bar After Hours. You're always welcome to listen and download at ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, or wherever you enjoy podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and stay well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.